these things that we do started a long time ago very differently. We I started a thing called School of Theology, and I'll tell you about that a little bit, not right at this moment, but later in the weekend, which was essentially a week-long intensive where we felt like, how can we give the opportunity for people without, like, you know, applying to go to school somewhere, who just want to learn more and, you know, pursue the knowledge of God? And so came up with this idea of a week-long intensive where we limited it to no more than 20 people. And that way it was very community-oriented, very discussion-oriented, very process-oriented. And I would bring in different speakers, writers, teachers, and all of the men that you'll hear this weekend have participated in that several times. And they'll come down for a day or two and spend the entire time with you in sessions, over a meal, taking a walk in a jacuzzi, whatever, to be able to just talk. A good chance gives you an opportunity to actually get to know these people and talk to them, ask them questions, and it's a great, great time. Well, a couple of years ago, we thought, you know, there's a couple problems with this. One of the problems is it's only 20 people, and we know there's a lot more people that would like to be a part of this conversation. The second thing was that it was a week long, and there was a lot of people that said, John, I could never get a week to do this. Do you ever do anything on a weekend? So we began to talk about the possibility of doing that, and so that's how this was birthed. We said, okay, let's give this a shot. Let's do this for a weekend. Let's try and just kind of squeeze it down and give you kind of a little bit of a concentrated form of SOT. But we wanted to keep it so it was a dialogue. We wanted to keep it so that it was a conversation. Because we're not coming here trying to tell you that we have answers. We're coming to tell you that we believe something. We believe we're right, but we're not sure. And that's the truth, because it's a belief. And at the end of the day, it's a belief, okay? And though we want to argue about it like it's not, stop, because it is, right? And so let's have a conversation about this, right? And so we wanted to keep that kind of atmosphere. Now, obviously, that's more difficult when you have a larger group like this. With 20 people, it's great. But with 200, it's a lot harder. So that's the idea. That's why we do the breakouts. We give you time to meet with these guys in smaller groups. That's why we have the table, so you can have conversation with people at your table. You're not limited to those people at your table. But we want it to be a dialogue. Because here's something that I found, and this is something that I say at the beginning of every SOT, and I've actually said it at a couple of the open tables that we've done, and it's something that took me about 50-some years to learn. And I know you don't think I'm over 50, but I am. And it's this. I used to think that I was a very teachable person. Because the way that I understood what it meant to be teachable was that I would be polite and I would listen to your point of view. And that meant I was teachable because I would entertain what you had to say. But the truth was, as I listened to you, I was either defending my view of things or my perspective as you presented yours as to why I would reject whatever it is that you were saying. Or I would use what you were saying more as ammunition to build up an understanding of the other side. So I'm a senior in college, Bible college, by the way. It wasn't this one. And I remember sitting in a class, and I don't remember much about the class, but I remember the room. I remember where I was sitting. I remember the teacher. I don't know what he was talking about. But I remember for some reason I started talking to God in the class. And I don't know why, but I remember kind of bowing my head and saying, God, I really want to be humble. And like as soon as the thought kind of cleared, another thought came zinging in right behind it. And it was this, why? And in a moment of unbelievable clarity and honesty, which doesn't happen very often in my life, I went, so other people would know I'm humble. That's the truth.
There you go.
True story. And when I thought it, and I knew I was being honest, I knew it. I literally just put my elbows on the desk and I just went, I am so messed up. Because I was. And so here's what I'd like to ask you to entertain, or here's what I'd like to suggest. That this would be something I think would be true of all of life, but particularly this weekend. As you hear things, the starting point for being teachable is to start from the place where you admit that it's possible that you could be wrong. Until you get to the place where you think that's possible, you'll never learn anything other than things that support what you think, which means you won't move anywhere outside of your bubble. That's a fact. So until I'm ready to go, well, it may be possible that I'm wrong, you're not going to learn. Oh, you'll learn information, but again, it's only going to support what you already know. So in my understanding, what I've come to learn, and it's been fairly recent in my life, is that true teachability is that when I hear someone else that may have a differing viewpoint or that may be suggesting something to me that isn't what I've heard or learned, that I'm willing to evaluate what I believe through the lens of that new piece of information. See, because what I always did was I critiqued the new piece of information with what I believed. And if it didn't fit, I threw it out. If it fit, then I absorbed it. But again, that doesn't do anything to change my viewpoint. It just bolsters me in the dogmatism that I already have. But if I let the new idea actually critique my viewpoint, now I'm actually really being teachable. I have the possibility of actually learning and changing something about my viewpoint. I may not. I may get done thinking that through and going, you know, I don't buy it. And that's okay. But at least you've given it the opportunity to critique you. You see the difference? I think this is crucial for us because I never hear sermons on humility or teachableness. Ever. I never hear anybody talk about it. And I'm like, really? Like, isn't this like one of the most important things ever? And we don't. We just don't. And part of that's because we love being right. We really do. And we'll fight for it. And we don't care who we hurt for it. And part of it's because we're scared to go anywhere outside of our box because it's new or it's different. You know, God is just bigger than that. He just is. But it's really hard. I understand what I'm saying is really hard. Good night. It's taken me a half a century to even get to the place where I admit it. So what I'm asking you to do, I realize it's difficult, but I think it's worth it. I'm asking you to not be so open-minded, as Steve Taylor said, that your brain leaks out. But you're open-minded in that you will hear what's said and you allow it to critique what you think and then go from there. I say this because in the last 10 years of my life, maybe 12, I've lost track, senior moment, I've come to learn some things and understand some things that are the best things I've ever heard in my life. They have undone me. And I taught here for years. And I'm not saying that everything I said before was wrong or anything like that, but I'm just saying I've learned some things. I've just gone, oh my gosh, you are just so much better than I ever thought you were. It's like, and this I'll stop. It's like I took my kids to the Grand Canyon and they're, a couple of them are here and they'll remember this. And this was a big deal for me. The Grand Canyon was kind of like it was a new age thing for me. It was a spiritual place. It was a spiritual place for me. Some things had happened there. I won't go into any of that. But I had looked forward for a long time to take my family to the Grand Canyon. So we get there. And I know when to be there. By the way, I'm a photographer. That's what I do for money. That's my vocation. So I know when to be there. I knew where to be. I knew, the shadows grow long. The color comes out. I know. So I set it up. I take my family there. And it's a gorgeous day. And we get to the rim. And if you've ever visited the Grand Canyon, you don't see anything. You get out of your car in the parking lot and you still don't see anything. You got to walk through the juniper bushes and then all of a sudden it just explodes on your view. And so my kids look at it and I'm like, okay, can we go now? And I'm like, no, you have to stay here and look at this for a while. Why? Just let it sink in. So, I'm like, okay. And my wife gives me one of those wife looks, like, let me take them. They're going to run and jump off if you don't let me take them. So they go, and my middle daughter, who's not here, bless her heart, she felt sorry for me, so she stayed behind with me, right? Just like, I'll stay with you, Dad. I'm like, oh, thank you, right? So here's the kicker. I get done and I find them in the souvenir shop looking at fake colored rocks. And the Grand Canyon is out the window. That's me with my theology 10 years ago looking at fake colored rocks. And they're beautiful and they're delightful. And the Grand Canyon is out the window. Okay? And this is what I mean by, like, the reason I want to do this is because this is changing me. It's undoing me. If I'm willing to be teachable, I could walk away and go, I don't buy it. And that's okay if you'll honestly give it a shot. Okay? That's enough of me, but I hope that you'll take that to heart a little bit. Our first presenter, and I wouldn't have anybody else want to start the conference, and that's a true statement. It pains me deeply to say that. Deeply. You have no idea how deeply that pains me. It hurts. I feel like I've got appendicitis over this. No, I'm kidding. I was actually offered a book that he wrote it was in 2008, so 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago, by Paul Young, offered me the book and said, hey, you should read this. This guy really loves the Gospel of John like you do. And there was a history there. Paul knew that. So I said, okay. And I took it and I started reading and I would read stuff and I'd stop and I had to read it again. And I'd read it and I'd read it again. And I'd read it again. And I'd go, you don't really mean that. You can't possibly be saying that. And I'd read it again. And I'd read it again. And then there was this one chapter in the book, it was called What If? And it just blew the socks off of me. And I go, okay, I got to talk to this guy. Where did he get this? So I go to the bibliography. And I look at the bibliography. And I look at all these books he has listed in the back. And I'm going, I haven't read any of these books. No wonder I didn't know anything he was saying, right? So this man has become a good and close friend. But what happened in my life through the way that God had worked in his and what he wrote has been... I could never repay him. So would you welcome with me Dr. Baxter Kruger?
Thank you.